Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, his counterpart and the radio voice of the Boston Celtics. It's a pleasure to welcome back in Sean Grandy to the Wendy's Big Show. Sean, how are you this afternoon, man?
Wouldn't it have been fun to have Ted and I on at the same time?
We might, if this series goes far enough, we maybe should try that. We should possibly try that.
I love these first round series. They go like 16, 17 days. Just, you know, everybody just goes on and on and on.
The NBA playoff schedule is a pet peeve of mine, Sean. So please don't get me started on that. Man, I can't stand how they spread this thing out. Did you have the Bucks dead in the water after the way that they showed? Well, didn't show up for game two of this series and down 0-2 to your Celtics?
No, not at all, because I just thought it was a very difficult series to forecast at the start. And if you had said at the beginning, well, they'd be 6 points apart through four games, that would have sounded about right to me. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to predict how crazy the fourth game was and how crazy the first game was. But, you know, I think when you look at – you throw the regular seasons out and look at the – you know, roster against roster, I think that there would be people that think the Celtics would have been in good shape. Well, take Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Marcus Smart off the Celtics, and yeah, this is a pretty good matchup. Look at some of the guys the Celtics have had to play significant minutes in this series. That was not really the plan. And the one thing when everybody in Boston was kind of going on and on about being up 2-0 and hey, isn't this great? Maybe it'll be easier than we thought. I said the following: don't get into a seventh game when the best player is on the other team. That's a situation you don't want to be in with if you're the Celtics. And now you're staring down that pretty seriously right now.
Would you say game three was kind of a little bit shocking for the Celtics in general? Not only from the crowd standpoint, but how physical all of a sudden the Bucks came out and decided to play in that game?
I think more surprising that the Celtics didn't answer, given the fact that they have, the Celtics season, let's take a step back. People were obviously following them on a day-to-day basis. The Celtics haven't really had a season. It's really been a one big game of Jenga. Okay, you just like take a piece out and see if the thing collapses. Take another piece out. Take another piece out. Take another piece out. And somehow the thing has stayed upright. And they got to 55 wins despite, you know, being without Gordon Hayward from the start, Kyrie Irving the last third of the year. You know, Al Horford was out for a while. Jaylen Brown was out for a while. Marcus Smart. So I think fans had become accustomed to them answering. And I think for 3 days, Cedric Maxwell, my partner, and I kept saying, well, the Bucks are going to come out and hit him in the mouth on Friday. They have to play tougher. You've got the perfect bully ball point guard in Eric Bledsoe. I mean, it made all the sense in the world. The surprise, I think, was that it really took a game and a half for the Celtics to answer.
No, you know what? Going back to your first statement, because I think you're truly right. If you look at the Boston Celtics without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward, and just say the Celtics were to lose this series, I would happen to think that there are a lot of Boston fans should be very happy with this team looking forward once you add those two players back in the mix and what your young players have been able to do, I think, grow up a lot more without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward.
Well, I think if anything sums up New England, it would be just happy-go-lucky no matter what, even if things go bad. Yeah, it'll probably take a while for people to get happy about losing in the first round, but of course, and I think that's sort of like the lesson you try to bring. Like, look over the wall. Look at the Portland Trailblazers. Look at the year they just had. Now they have to deal with being swept out of the playoffs in the first round. What the Celtics have done without all these guys has been an amazing year. Brad Stevens, legitimate coach of the year conversation, might even win it for what they did this year. And I think it'll be tough for people to accept. But, yeah, I think there becomes a moment where you sort of accept the reality that you're out there trying to win playoff games on the road with a second-round draft pick in Semi Ojeleye playing significant minutes down the stretch. Shane Larkin, who couldn't get a job in the league last year, is playing significant minutes in the fourth quarter. This is a cobbled-together team, and there's high-end talent. I mean, I think you can't disguise the fact that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are high-end talent, but they're 20 and 21 years old. So I think it's, like I said, that's why I think the beauty of the series is, given the Bucks being healthy, and, you know, Chris Middleton finally getting all the attention he deserves as being a star player in this league, I think it's a great matchup. I think New England fans will probably have to work on that, being happy about stuff. But other than that, yeah, I think you're exactly right.
Talking with Sean Grandy, play-by-play guy of the Boston Celtics. Before the series started, we had you on the air. You talked about rebounding being the key to the series, you thought. And I laughed and said, oh, the Bucks are like the worst in rebounding. Now looking at three games possibly left in the series, what now is the key?
All right, well, let me give you this. It's amazing how the series has played out. Now, the Celtics were the number one defensive team in the league all year. Milwaukee, the Bucks now own 5 of the top 7 shooting games against the Celtics this year. In 86 games, 5 times the Bucks have shot 50%, when only 2 other teams did that the entire year.
Wow.
That is amazing. Yep. And the Celtics, I'll give you another one that isn't getting any play here. The Celtics had a run of 28 consecutive wins when out-rebounding the other team by 5 rebounds or more. It went back to last year. 28 wins in a row. They did it in both games this weekend and lost both. So everything we thought we knew about the Celtics and what, you know, correlates to their success, you kind of have to throw it away. I think what the Celtics learned, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, is that the value of every possession in these playoffs and playing with that high level of intensity, and you can't work your way into the game. You can't get pushed around for a quarter or two and then suddenly find it. The Celtics earlier this year, and remember, they had Kyrie Irving for those games. They had Marcus Smart for those games. Had a ton of games where they were down 16, 17, 18 points, and they were able to come back. Games like yesterday were very commonplace for the Celtics. They would find themselves down huge and then either come back and steal it or get within 2 or maybe take the lead in the fourth quarter. And Friday's lesson is, hey, you're going to get punched in the mouth in the playoffs, particularly on the road. Those games will disappear from you quickly.
It seemed like to me that the two guys that play well in, you know, the third and fourth game, well, the first two games, are Morris and Rozier, and they didn't shoot very well. You know, Rozier was 3 for 12. And Marshall 4 for 14, seemed like that hurt the team. But I just want to know, what's the thinking behind, what does Boston think of Jabari Parker not playing the first game, 14 minutes and 10, and then it jumps up to 25? I mean, what do you think their thinking is with that?
I think their thinking was they were hoping that he wouldn't wake up. And they were hoping that he thought that he would, you know, that clearly there's stuff going on here with Jabari. And you get into an injury situation, you feel like you're talented enough to be starting, you should be starting, and the team is playing well, you know, without you, and you kind of have to work your way back in. He thinks he's a starting player in the league. This is true in the NBA, but it's true in other leagues too. When you come into the league and you're a young guy, there is that naturally, instinctively selfish thing where you want to establish yourself and what you do and what you do in this league. And then later in your career, maybe fit more into a role. This is the danger of having a lot of young players who are still trying to find their way. I think Jabari is clearly wrestling with that right now. The other part of it is players that are not necessarily starters and role players, however you define it, in the playoffs, and this is the only stereotypical thing about this series, they tend to play a lot better at home. And all of a sudden you have Dellavedova and Jabari Parker and Thon Maker being huge difference. I mean, starting 5 against starting 5 in this series, it's gone to Boston. The difference has been the bench, and obviously the Celtics bench is not what they thought it was going to be, given all the injuries. But the disparity between 6 through 9 in this series that's the reason the Bucks are coming back here 2-2 with momentum.
So that have you seen Tom Brady anywhere around the Boston area? I mean, now's the time to let us know. I mean,
you're talking about, you want the fans here to be happy if the Celtics lose in the first round. I don't even think we're going to appreciate the dynasty. It'll take a generation before you look back at the 15 years and realize what was accomplished here. And yet, everyone is just waiting for the Patriots to draft a quarterback so you can have drama about, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And they're always people in different parts of the country, because of their genetics and their DNA, seek a certain amount of drama and conflict.
No, they're the same everywhere, Sean. We have it here too. It's the same everywhere. But probably more so in certain places, but yeah, I mean, you know.
Right, exactly. It's got to be a thing, and it will be. It's like, you know, Tom Brady, there was a joke about some guys, there's a new oldest guy in the world, right? He just turned 118 or whatever in China. It's like, all right, your move, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's Sean Grandy, the Celtics play-by-play announcer on the Celtics Radio Network, and our guest once again here on the Wendy's Big Show. I was serious. If this series goes deep enough and we can find a good window for you and Ted Davis to join us at the same time, I think we could make some very good radio with that, sir.
He's the best. Doing the things by himself all those years, I look at that like, man, I would be like using my hand as a puppet or something. That was a great play, wasn't it? Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have him. We appreciate Ted and his skills on the microphone, and we appreciate you joining us for a few minutes here on the Big Show. Thanks a lot, Sean.
You got it, guys.
Right, Sean Grandy joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.